And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
When America was great, when the chrome was thick and the women were straight, when guys knew how to punch another guy in the nose instead of shooting him. Let's hear the music, for God's sakes. It's fading. Why is it fading? What, am I going deaf? Does anyone remember America when the chrome was thick and the women were straight? Does anyone remember America when they taught English literature at universities instead of hieroglyphics? They couldn't even teach hieroglyphics at universities today. It's far too advanced for the morons that they're admitting to the universities who are saying that literature itself is now offensive. It offends them to actually have to speak English and to read English. That's what this country has devolved into. And if you think it's bad now, oh, you're right. But it's going to get so much worse after the demon leaves office. Do you know that the demon has brought in 1 million Muslims during his presidency? Now you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, let's say Orlando. Maybe that's still in your memory, because I know you forgot San Bernardino. We certainly know you forgot 9/11. We know you forgot Boston. But I think Orlando might still be in your mind. And so you say, well, what does it have to do with Muslims? Well, I don't know. What does it have to do with? Do you know that 51% of American Muslims want Sharia law? Do you know what Sharia law does to gays? Do you know what Sharia law does to women? Do you people have any idea what the demon in the White House is doing to you? Play the rock and roll, because I don't want to go down this road right now. I want to slow it down.
Oh, yes,
put the brakes on. No, no, not this garbage. The same piece, please. Not that junk. Just stick to the same song. That's all. Come on, everyone. Sing along. Remember when it was great in America? When men walked around with machismo? When they weren't afraid of their own shadows? Before they were medicated? Homogenated? Remember when America had men walking in the streets and America had a glint in their eye? Do you remember that country? Where is it gone? After 8 years of this demon. That was after 8 years of the bumbler. That was 8 years of the skirt chaser. They've destroyed the country. They've gutted it. 1 million Muslims admitted by Obama during his presidency. What's the rush, Mr. Obama? Why do you want so many of the fellow travelers here, since 51% of them want laws that are alien to the United States of America, Mr. Obama? Now, let's go to the issue at hand, which is the Orlando massacre. A new study says Americans view the motive behind the slaughter of gays by the Muslim by party affiliation. Party affiliation determines how Americans view the Orlando massacre, with 79% of Republicans viewing it as an act of Islamic terrorism, thank you, while 60% of demon cats perceive it as an act of domestic gun violence, according to a new Gallup poll. Now, hold on a minute. All you good liberals out there, all you good progressives out there, if there were no guns, how come they throw gays off roofs in Muslim countries today without guns? How come they hang them from cranes and drop them in Iran without using guns? Is that crane violence? They throw them off rooftops in Iraq where guns are banned. Did you know that, you idiots, you? So the poll suggests that Americans as a whole lean toward describing the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history as an act of terror. Of course, they don't say Islamic terror. Now it's just terror. The results are based on a June 14-15 poll conducted days after Omar Mateen, a Muslim U.S. citizen and ISIS sympathizer, slaughtered 49 people and wounded 53 others in a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. The gunman, I would call him the Muslim man, had been on the federal government's terrorism watch list in 2013 and 2014, but was later removed owing to President Obama's proclivities towards never seeing an act of terror coming from a certain religion. So now we go to, how does this happen? How is it happening in front of our eyes that we've been deballed as a nation? How is it happening that a fellow traveler is permitted to get away with this over and over again, day after day, one terrorist act after another, and the man is not called on the carpet for it? He is not impeached. No one dares utter a word. And it gets worse by the day. Paul Ryan, whoever he is, I think he's some kind of speaker or other. I know he's running the Republican Party right now. He's a, what do we call them? What would you call Paul Ryan other than a Quisling? Paul Ryan is a Democrat by any other name. And I don't mean just a Democrat, a regular Democrat. I'm not talking about a visceral Democrat of the old type, of the type I grew up with. I'm not talking about a blue-collar Democrat. Paul Ryan is not a blue-collar Democrat. Paul Ryan is a feminist Democrat. Paul Ryan is an Islamic-loving Democrat. Paul Ryan is the enemy of the American people themselves, in my opinion. How did he get into this position of power? So he gives a speech, Paul Ryan does, yesterday on CNN, saying if Republicans don't act on guns, we'll keep seeing more massacres like this. That's number one. He also says if Trump becomes president and he passes a ban on bringing in more Muslims, we will sue him. Is he Hillary Clinton or is he Paul Ryan? Is he a Republican or is he a sympathizer of the Democrats or a Democrat themselves? So now let's listen to Paul Ryan in clip number one, and I have something to say about it on the Savage Nation.
We are a separate but equal branch of government, and don't think for a second we're not going to stand up for the legislative branch's prerogatives and priorities. There's a question about the 1952 Immigration Naturalization Act, which is about whether that act gave the president discretion on certain things. That's a legal question that there's a good debate about. I would sue any president who exceeds his or her powers.
You lying little man, you. You Lilliputian, Ryan. You know, you look macho, but you know what's inside you? A little girl. It's a little girl in a big man's body. You would sue any president? You would sue any president that exceeds his or her powers? You would sue them? How come you haven't sued the monster in chief who's in there right now violating the Constitution on a daily basis, Ryan? You're a little girl inside a man's body, Ryan, because you're a liar. Now, I'm going to read you 14 offenses of the traitor in the White House and have to ask you a question. I must. I wanted to make it only rock and roll. Paul Ryan is a quizzling turncoat. Paul Ryan is the danger himself. We know Obama is a danger to our survival, but now you understand the other party is identical to this party. We've had a one-party government. We have a monopoly. We have a dictatorship. There are no two parties. It's a deception. We have two parties in Donald Trump. That's all we have right now. And they're working to take down Donald Trump as fast as they can. They're afraid of him because he represents you. He represents the red, white, and blue. He represents the real America as opposed to the imposters who have taken over this country and have run it off the rails. And they're getting us whacked. Here are offenses committed by the traitor in chief. One, flooding the U.S. with illegal aliens, specifically 1 million Muslims, since he was foisted upon us by hidden powers. Two, using the IRS to target conservatives, Christians, and pro-Israel groups. Three, Justice Department conducting criminal investigations of Fox reporters. Refusing to enforce immigration laws. Signing an executive order regarding illegals in defiance of Congress. Assaulting the Second Amendment by issuing on one day 21 executive orders to undermine the right to bear arms. Especially the law, written by the monster, which allows doctors and hospitals to investigate without cause patients who own firearms. Health and Human Services, without congressional approval, ordering abortion coverage in conflict with the First Amendment and Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. What I'm reading to you are actual offenses by the monster in chief, who has not been challenged by Paul Ryan or any other Republican. Not one word out of the mouths of the fakers, the little girls in men's bodies. Next, forcing Obamacare on the public by lying about cost and by bribing senators, the infamous Cornhusker kickback, and bribing Mary Landrieu, which is why she will lose the runoff. You remember that one? Are you ready for this? Fast and furious, flooding Mexico with machine guns and other weapons. Can you tie the monster to the Justice Department action? You know that's why Eric Holder retired. You know that. That's why they dummied him up and got him out of there. You know that, don't you? FCC, DOE, DOI, and EPA have all exceeded authority. Again, definitely exceeded their authority. And it was ordered by BHO, or was it? He probably used buffers. As you well know, organized crime uses buffers. You can never trace it back to the kingpin. The kingpins always use buffers. Study your history of organized crime. Are you listening carefully? White House recess appointments to National Labor Relations Board and Consumer Financial Protection Bureau when Congress wasn't in recess. Again, an act by the peasant Avante. BHO eliminated work requirement for welfare recipients in defiance of congressional law signed by Bill Clinton. Another violation of his constitutional authority. GM bailout, remember that one? BHO unlawfully shortchanged bondholders to benefit labor unions, remember that one? Now, this may be the worst of the offenses conducted by the monster in the White House. BO exposed details of the operation to kill bin Laden, which is a violation of the law, revealing classified military secrets. That's definitely impeachable. Here's another one for those of you who are doubtful about his lawlessness, his rogue presidency. B.O. lied about the killing of Ambassador Chris Stevens in Benghazi. He was not under oath, or that would go from probably impeachable to definitely impeachable. That's a short list of the offenses by the traitor-in-chief, none of which have been challenged by the girl in the name Paul Ryan. This is the Savage Nation. Come back for Rock and Roll Friday if you can stomach it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Walking around with their heads down, trying to be as feminist as they can. Does anyone remember those days when construction workers would sit on the steps of St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan, as pretty girls went by, they would whistle at them? Remember those great days? The girls loved it, by the way. And then along came the girls in construction boots, the ugly girls that nobody would date. They called themselves feminists all of a sudden. Well, I can go down the road. I can tell you what it's all about. I can tell you who destroyed the heart of America. And I can tell you who's destroying the survival of America, which I do on a daily basis. But what's the good of it? What is the good of it if the power structure is so vast that they would get a little girl in a man's body called Paul Ryan, a little Democrat ballerina called Paul Ryan, who gets up there and calls himself a Republican and does the worst damage you could imagine to this republic under the guise of being the leader of the Republican Party? So you got to ask yourself, if the people hate him, if the people hate Obama, if the people hate the violation of our laws and the violation of our freedoms and bringing in a million Muslims, why does it keep happening? What kind of country is this? Where is the freedom? I'll let you answer the questions, because the questions themselves are the answers. The questions themselves hold the answers in them. And there's only so much any one man can do. I'm not Atlas. Remember, even Atlas shrugged. Sometimes Atlas wants to sleep late. Sometimes Atlas wants to stay in bed. Sometimes Atlas wants to hide under the covers. But a man can't do that. A man has a job to do. This is my job. Laugh at me if you will, if you're that stupid. If you don't even know you're digging your own grave and throwing the lime in the pit, I can't help you. The progressives have given the youth shovels and lime and told them to dig their own graves and throw the lime in, and then throw themselves into the pit. And the youth happily dig their own graves. They go along praying with all of the mantras of the left, not even recognizing they're digging their own graves. You say, okay, you see it for what it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. Well, there's only, I think, only one chance. And truthfully, Trump, I think he has less of a chance today than I did a month ago. I'll be honest with you. Something's happening. I think the forces of evil are so great that they're getting to him. I personally believe that. I mean, I'll vote for him. I want him to win. But I think the forces of evil inside, forget the Democrats. I wrote them off a long time ago. When you say Democrat, I see old women like Nancy Pelosi, old women like Dianne Feinstein, old women, old Harridans like them. Nothing wrong with being an old woman, but old anti-American women who are, let us say, questionable ethically, is why I use the three sisters from San Francisco as a picture of the Democrat Party as it is today. I wrote them off a long time ago. Then we had the Republican Party, and we had hope for them. And Stop the Coming Civil War, I said at the end of the book, hold your nose. Vote for the Republicans. You have to. Then we'll hold their feet to the fire. What'd that do for us? We got stabbed in the back by the gobbler. That guy with the gullet from Kentucky. All he was in there for was to lobby for the coal industry. And once the gobbler got the coal bill from Obama, that was the end of the gobbler. He suddenly turned coat. Who was the other one? Remember him, Boehner the drunk? The one who cried every other day? Every day he came out, he was in tears. The pink tie, remember Boehner? Where's old Boehner today? They gave him a couple of cases of Jack Daniels to his condo in Jacksonville, and that was the end of him. That's all happy. Like the old ward captains from New York or Chicago in the old days. Bought him off, sits there on a terrace somewhere, getting shickered up and getting sun on his feet. That's where he is, in my opinion. That's just, I have no proof that he's doing that. Come on. Think of me as a cartoonist. I'm just drawing cartoons for you in this free nation of ours. Think of that as a cartoon of John Boehner. I'm sure he's not doing that. I'm sure he's giving lectures to Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts about the greatness of the U.S. Constitution and drinking OJ. This is the Savage Nation, Rock and Roll Friday. Have a nice day. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Those are strong words. I get it. I read you 14 impeachable offenses. 14. And Paul Ryan has the nerve to say that if Trump becomes president and he dares ban the importation of more Muslims after a million were ushered in by Obama, for what reason, no one knows. Well, excuse me, pardon me, that's not a statement that's accurate. 1 million Muslims at a time of international Islamic terror would make insane sense if you're a rational person. I would say even the most progressive moron in San Francisco, who still has a brain, understands that in a time of Islamic terror, you don't bring in Muslims without screening them all. Why would he bring in a million of them? Okay, let's put it to you this way. Those of you who are so brainwashed, you don't understand what I'm saying to you. Everything I say to you, you're running through a filter called race or racism. So let's put race aside. Let's use logic. There's Islamic terror going on around the world, one event after another. All conducted by 7th, 8th century Muslims who are interpreting their holy book in a fundamentalist manner and saying, kill the infidel. They're garbage, they're dirt, they're filth, they deserve to die. So you got Islamic terror all over the world, from Russia to California, Islamic terror, Islamic terror. Now you have a maniac in the White House who has a Muslim father, an adopted Muslim father, and the man is sympathetic towards Muslims, which is not a problem. I've said 1,000 times. 1,000 times I said it once. Muslims who are evolved religiously are not the problem. King of Jordan is an example, educated man who happens to practice the Islamic faith. There are millions like him. So how many of the 1 million Muslims given a green card by your president have been screened to see if they're living in the 7th century or the 20th century, let alone the 21st century? I'll even take the 19th century. How many have been screened by this government, this corrupt, incompetent government, to see what century they're living in? Does anyone have the answer? Any of you immigration lawyers who are digging graves for all of us? All you good liberals from New York who have polluted the country with your psychosis of liberalism and progressivism? Do you have any idea that you're killing yourself and your children's children? Well, I understand, excuse me, most of you aren't married and don't have children and will have no grandchildren. So you're thinking only of the money you're making today in your immigration legal practice. I get it. But the rest of us see it. And we ask, why would you bring in a million Muslims who are unvetted, unscreened, not analyzed for sympathies towards these ancient crazy beliefs? Why? So I can ask questions from today until kingdom come, and I'm not going to get the answer I want. Because we're not living in the country that I think we're living in. Now, here's another story related to what I'm saying. California's new motor voter law could add 2 million registered voters in its first year, study says. Isn't that wonderful? A new study from the Public Policy Institute of California estimates that if executed successfully, the state's new motor voter law could add more than 2 million new voters to the rolls in its first year of implementation. Now, why would Jerry Brown and the Democrat Party in this state, this one-party state, why would they want uneducated foreigners, most of whom are not citizens, to become voters? Why?
Well, let's look at the several groups that would grow as a share of the electorate under a successful new motor voter program. Well, the first group that would grow would be the no college. The second group would be those born to two foreign-born parents.
Oh.
The third group that would grow enormously would be Latino. The fourth group would be ages 18 to 24. The next group would be those who moved to the state in the last year. The next group would be with income lower than $20,000. So why is Jerry Brown stocking the state of California with uneducated, foreign-born, many non-citizens, poor people? What does he hope to gain from it while alienating those who are making a living and paying such high taxes? There's only one answer. Power, 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 power. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. We have an absolutely corrupt government at every level. So we have one man standing up to it, Donald Trump. And what does this corrupt government media complex do? They turn him into the corrupt party. They throw every lie they can think of, and then some. Give you another example. An anti-Trump protester threw stones, one of them threw rocks yesterday, a bunch of them did. Hit in the head was a gay reporter for the gay something newspaper, got head smashed in. So the local garbage rag here, the Chronicle, the local garbage rag runs a picture of the reporter with his headband, and it says, violence at Trump rally, stones thrown at violent Trump rally. As though the people who went there to hear Donald Trump threw the rocks. The reporter knows it was the anti-Trump violent vermin who threw the rocks and hit him in the head. But the vermin in the media switched it around to Trump violence. You get it? Over and over again. This is how the Soviet Union used to work. Propaganda, 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 propaganda. This is how Hitler worked with Goebbels. If you tell a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. So the garbage in the media, the lowlifes in the media, the propagandists in the media, continue to say violence at Trump rally hits, rock hits guy in the head. So you start, oh, violence, 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 Trump, Trump, Trump. Oh, I get it, Trump violent. Well, no, it's not Trump who's violent. It's the anti-Trumpsters who are violent. But you don't see that in your local propaganda sheet. This is how the Soviet Union grew, and this is how the Soviet Union fell. So my friends, Americans, and countrymen, we're in very bad shape in the United States of America. We have a totally corrupt press. We have a totally out-of-control maniac in the White House. Going around Congress, we have a supine Congress that may as well not exist. It's like ancient Rome when there was a czar, a Caesar of the time, I think it was Caligula, who so laughed at what he had done to the Roman Republic in just a few short years that it had become a laughing stock. It used to actually, they had Roman senators who used to actually have checks and balances on the dictatorships that could emerge in the early days of the Roman Empire. And then along came corrupt emperors like Bill Clinton, who was as close to Caligula as I've ever seen. And now Caligula's wife, Mrs. Caligula, wants to be president. So he was so enamored of himself, Caligula, that he took one of the senators out of the chambers. I don't know what he did with them, and he replaced the senator with a horse. He put a horse in the senator's seat, and he said the horse has as much sense as the senators, and laughed at them. That's what Obama's doing to the U.S. Senate. He could take donkeys and put them in the Senate seats. That's what he'd get. If he took all the Republican senators out, with the exception of five of them, and put mules or donkeys in there, he'd have about the same level of intelligence, maybe higher. Maybe more honest. But anyway, okay, I made my point. Phone number is 855-407-282. This is the Savage Nation. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Now, in the beginning of the show, at the beginning of the show, I read you 14 offenses of the traitor. Nobody in the history of radio has documented this but me. High crimes and misdemeanors, I know, is an indefinite phrase in the law. And so the real question is, which of these illegal acts rises to the level of impeachability? Barack Obama impeachable offenses. I read you 14 or 15 of them. That is the most important list you could ever imagine, because it shows you exactly where we are in the country today. And you ask yourself, why would he import 1 million Muslims during his presidency when 51% of American Muslims want Sharia law, according to the latest study? Islamic speaker admits killing gays is moderate belief. I played that for you yesterday on the show. Remember that, Robert? Islamic speaker admits killing gays is a belief held by moderate Muslims. and yet the regressive left still defends Islam. This is after the slaughter in Orlando at the gay club. This is the Islamic speaker Fahid Qureshi, who admitted that the desire to see homosexuals killed was a belief held by so-called moderate Muslims. I played it for you yesterday. My friends, I see the truth, but I'm a powerless voice in the wilderness. I'm only one citizen. You look at a mass of people in the streets of New York. Look at them teeming on the sidewalks. I'm one of them. That's the power I have. Just another man in the street. But all I have is my ability to see what's going on and to express it the best I can. I am not David able to defeat Goliath. I am just David walking in the streets of ancient Israel. I don't know where the man is going to be. Maybe it was Trump. Maybe it is Trump. Maybe it will be Trump. I don't know anymore if he is the David who can take on this Goliath of lies. The phone number again is 855-407-2822. If Republicans don't act on guns, we'll keep seeing more massacres. Did we play clip two yet? No. Let's hear clip two from the deceiver-in-chief right now, who goes and uses the graves. The blood is still wet on the sidewalk, and the demon flies down there with Joe Overbite. The demon flies down there and uses the blood in the streets to push his evil agenda to steal our Second Amendment. Listen to clip two.
I've said this before. We will not be able to stop every tragedy. We can't wipe away hatred and evil from every heart in this world. But we can stop some tragedies. We can save some lives. We can reduce the impact of a terrorist attack if we're smart. And if we don't act, we will keep seeing more massacres like this because we'll be choosing to allow them to happen.
He's 100% right. So if we're smart and we act, by banning Muslims from entering America, unless they are vetted for what century their beliefs reside in, we will see more massacres like this. It's not because of guns, it's because of madmen who are following a 7th or 8th century view of their own religion. He has imported 1 million Muslims during his presidency. 1 million. Obama administration to issue 1 million green cards to migrants from majority Muslim countries. Look around your country. More than 1 million green cards to migrants from majority Muslim countries, according to analysis of the so-called Department of Homeland Security. A chart released by the Senate Subcommittee on Immigration and National Interest Friday details the surge in immigration to the U.S. from majority Muslim countries since O took office in 09, most of which were issued to migrants from Pakistan, Iraq, Bangladesh, Iran, Egypt, and Somalia. Did you hear the number? This total of 832,000 new permanent Muslim residents do not include migrants on temporary non-immigrant visas, which allow foreign nationals to come to the U.S. temporarily for work, for study, for tourism. Do you hear what's going on? That Obama is on track to issue over 1 million green cards to migrants from Muslim-majority countries. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that that makes sense? Can anyone tell me why Trump is wrong on this? Can anyone listening to this show explain to me what sense this makes to bring in people from Pakistan, Iraq, Bangladesh, Iran, Egypt, Somalia, Uzbekistan, Turkey, Morocco, Jordan, Albania, Afghanistan, Lebanon, Yemen, Syria, Indonesia, Sudan, Sierra Leone, Guinea, Senegal, Saudi Arabia, Algeria, Kazakhstan, Kuwait, Gambia, UAE, Azerbaijan, Mali, Burkina Faso, Kyrgyzstan, Kosovo, Mauritania, Tunisia, Tajikistan, Libya, Turkmenistan, Qatar, and Chad. Does anyone listening to the show think that this is what America needs right now? Do you think that the majority of these Muslims from these countries will assimilate or integrate or will become part of this great melting pot called the United States of America? Look around the world and see what happens when Muslims gain control of a nation. See if there are rights for minorities. I have nothing else I can say. The government was hijacked. The government was hijacked, and I would say the flashpoint was 1965 when the drunk Kennedy the drunk Kennedy from Massachusetts, perverted the immigration and naturalization laws to flood America with illegal aliens, to change the statute of this country, the statutes of this country, and flood America with immigrants strictly so the Democrat Party could stay in power. He was an exact example of the type of leadership, if you want to call it that, that New York had under Tammany Hall when it was run by Irish gangs. Remember those days? I mean, you don't remember them. Do you know when New York was run by Irish gangs? Do you know what the Sullivan Act is? Do you have any idea what the Irish gangs did to New York's political structure? Take a look at America today, because it's being done by another gang from another group, because America's always been sort of a lawless land with a veneer of law over it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-C-O-I-N.
I turn it off. I don't have the heart for this today. Barbarians have broken through our boundaries. ISIS thugs stone accused adulterers to death. I have the pictures from the New York Post. See if you have the guts to look at them. So you'll say, well, I oppose that. We don't want to bring in ISIS. You know that many of the people he's bringing in actually are sympathizers with ISIS. You know that. ISIS brutes have stoned to death four men in Iraq whom they accuse of adultery, and shocking photos capture the savagery, originally published in the Sun. Sickening pictures show the final moments of the sentenced men, who are seen sitting blindfolded in a public area surrounded by piles of rocks. Now, there's a cheering crowd of throwbacks. It's not just ISIS thugs. The throwbacks get a crowd together to watch the stoning. It's filled with the throwbacks in the population. Throngs of warped onlookers watch as Muslim fanatics hurl stones at the victims. The brutal prehistoric punishment is one of many preferred by ISIS thugs, who enforce a strict interpretation of Sharia law in the countries that they capture. Now, 51% of American Muslims want Sharia law. And according to this strict of Islam, it is acceptable for married adulterers to be subjected to the barbaric punishment. Has Obama asked any of the Muslims he's flooding into America whether they want Sharia law? The stones, by the way, are not allowed to be big enough to kill the victim quickly. They want the suffering to go on. We have pictures of them online, and I don't ask you to go look at them. A prisoner is seen saying his final prayers before the savage stoning begins, as crowds, including throwback Neanderthals, watch unnerved. They kill women. They kill Jews, Christians, infidels. Beware of alligators, though.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I know there are many older listeners to this show who know what America was like when I grew up. They remember when American men had swagger. They just remember America when women had class. And they look around, they see the garbage in the streets today. They don't know what happened to the country. Now, you can only blame Obama for so much. It didn't begin with him. I understand that. I have traced this. I've seen it. I know who did it. I can name the individuals who brought America to its knees. And there's no point in doing so. It's not going to get us where we need to go. Let's look at the present. The present is a president who was so demented and so demonic in his desire to alter the landscape of America demographically, let's be very clear, that he is ushering in 1 million Muslims in his regime, in his 8 years of his regime, thus far, 1 million green cards to Muslims. So you say, well, what's wrong with that? Orlando? San Bernardino? Boston? You say, well, they all didn't do it. Well, we know they all didn't do it. So why, if you have a war against all others being conducted by Islamic terrorists around the world from Russia to California, every place on the globe, you have 7th, 8th, 9th century individuals interpreting their holy book to kill everyone but Muslims who practice a 7th, 8th, or 9th century vision of the world. Why would you bring in a million people who might have those views? How many of the million green cards that he gave out were to Europeans? None. How many of the million green cards to Muslims were to Christians? Well, the answer is none. They're the Muslims only. So why is Obama obsessed with bringing in Muslims? Isn't he an American president? Isn't he supposed to represent all Americans? Well, I don't have to answer the question. I've given you in the last hour more value for your money than you get from any 20 radio shows. I gave you 15 impeachable offenses of the traitor-in-chief, including what I just mentioned to you. 15, not just one. Going all the way back to the GM bailout. I went all the way back to the 8 years of his regime. The reason I happen to have this short list of his impeachable offenses of the traitor is because I am just now finishing up my next and last blockbuster, the sequel to Government Zero. It will be my last nonfiction political book. I can't do them anymore. I'm finished with them. It's all I can do. I feel like a salmon who swum upstream, and I don't have anything left in me but this book. It's coming out right after Labor Day. It's called Scorched Earth. I think you get the picture. Now, why bother listing the 15 impeachable offenses of the traitor on Labor Day? I guess I'm trying with everything I have in me to alter the mind of America so it sees reality as it is and votes for its own survival come November. It's that simple. Then my work will have been done, completed, no matter what happens. If Caligula's wife wins, there's no hope. There's no going back. If Caligula's wife wins, it's over. Now, we have no opposition party. It's a one-party government. I've called them Democrats, Republicrats since I began at Radio 94. Republicrats, Democrats. It used to be a joke. But even in those days, we had opposition speakers. We don't have them anymore. They've been ground down into dust. And to make matters worse, a Quisling named Paul Ryan gives an interview with the anti-American publication, The Huffington Post, and says he would sue President Trump if Trump were president and enacted a temporary pause on Muslim immigration. The Quisling Ryan would sue President Trump. Listen to clip number one if you think I'm making this up. Listen carefully.
We are a separate but equal branch of government. And don't think for a second we're not going to stand up for the legislative branch's prerogatives and priorities. There's a question about the 1952 Immigration Naturalization Act, which is about whether that act gave the president discretion on certain things. That's a legal question that there's a good debate about. I would sue any president who exceeds his or her powers.
So, Mr. Ryan, you would sue any president that exceeds his or her powers. I am your talk show host, not as bright as you are, gave you 15 offenses where he exceeded his powers. Mr. Ryan, how come you've done nothing, you liar, you? You coward, you little sissy. No, you listen to Paul Ryan's voice, and you say, you know, he sounds like us, he sounds like an American. Got a great, doesn't he sound like perfect Midwestern American? Doesn't he? A nation can survive its fools, even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Not written by Michael Savage, but by Marcus Cicero, a Roman orator and statesman in 42 B.C. So who do you think he was referring to? A man who speaks in accents familiar to his victims and wears their face in their arguments. Oh, there are so many, but today we've given you a few. Now, look, I've taken no calls. We're going to take a few right now on the show. It's Rock and Roll Friday. We have some great music. I have other news that I'm going to read to you, but I want to hear what you have to say about what I've said so far. So let us begin on WJR in Detroit. On WJR, Wild Bill, welcome to the program from Detroit. What's on your mind?
Well, first off, sir, I'm very proud of you, and I realize the fight you're engaged in, yeah, it seems endless.
All right, thanks for the call. I don't take, look, it's not his fault. It's just a product of the phone. We'll move on. We got to clean him up. Okay, cell phones are horrible. Let's go to the next caller, WMAL, Rodney, line two. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I'm an African-American conservative author. I like the scope of your books, and I'd like to interview you for my next book. I mean, I've been listening to you all week, and the direction you're going is spot on, and I'm looking to using some of your inclusions from Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. So I'm trying to see if I can get in touch with you and somehow later, perhaps, or just to talk with you a little bit about that.
Rodney, what's your name?
Rodney Walker. I've got a couple of books. You can look me up online, but I'm working on my third one now. And I'm going to be talking with an old friend from Martin Luther King, believe it or not. We're going to talk about the conservative African-American community at his time and how...
Okay, let me ask you something. You identify as an African-American, obviously highly educated, very intelligent. Certainly your politics seem to match my views. How is it that the African-American community, liberal in particular, which is 90%, does not see what he's doing to the country and that it's damaging the poorest blacks the most?
I tell you, there's so much confusion in the African-American community right now, and the media has really... I mean, if we look at just the latest things about how, hands up, don't shoot, and I mean, these things were complete fabrications almost by the media.
What I'm saying, if you're bringing in unskilled labor from the third world, let's put aside the Muslim issue for a minute. Let's just say unskilled labor. Doesn't it weaken the job market for poor people in America, black or white? So wouldn't it hurt the black community enormously to be flooding America with cheap labor? Of course it would. So where are the black leaders on this?
Right now, what it appears to me to be is that they're trying to capitalize on this victimization from police brutality, and it's, they're not shifted, they're not looking in the right areas with things that impact the community the most, such as black-on-black violence. Unfortunately, the African-American community has gone from being victims to being perpetrators, and that has been a generational thing that we need to talk about and understand and get people back to the values that they came from, which was family, civic duty, hard work, education. It's a whole different generation today.
Well, there were millions of small businesses in African-American communities before Lyndon Baird Johnson's war on poverty began. That's a well-known sociological fact. The African American community was largely, well, just say very different. Small businesses in the communities, the fathers were at home, there was a very small amount of out-of-wedlock births. Aren't those facts, or am I making those up, Rodney?
Oh, no. You are absolutely right. And I mean, both of my parents were educated. They both have master's degrees, and they came out of that in the 1950s. They came out of that with very hardworking, a work ethic, very committed to family. Father was very committed to his children.
All right, so what I'm saying is the welfare state introduced by the Democrat socialist Lyndon Baines Johnson, and he did it specifically to own voters. He started giving them, he made the government into the father. And once he made the government into dad, the African-American family first went, and now, of course, the poor white families have gone. By the same token, the same thing is happening to the poor whites. You know that as well.
That's right, and it's liberalism. It's, you know, they've espoused certain liberal ideas which have eroded their very value system, and that's what I want to look at. Because the value systems were...
All right, well, I think you're very smart. Obviously, I'd like to help you in any way, so I'm going to send you a copy of Teddy and Me for Father's Day, and then I'm going to ask you to give your email to Joey, and I'll get in touch with you, okay? Stay on the line. This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about... What are we talking about? I'm asking you out there. You, Mr. America. You, Mrs. America. What are we talking about? You're listening to the show. What are we talking? What have you heard so far? Have you heard anything that has changed your mind at all? Can anything reach you? I doubt it. It's like shoveling. Well, I can't say it. It's a family show against the tide. And we'll leave it at that. But we're going to go back to the callers and the news. I think the best part of my program today, the part that you should take home, are the 15 impeachable offenses of Barack Hussein Obama. I think that you need to see them. If you can't grab them, I don't know if you can. It'll be in my last and greatest nonfiction political book, Scorched Earth, which will come out on Labor Day. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I got emotional listening to it. I remembered America when it was like America. I remembered America. I remember a world of tough men. Men who defeated the Nazis, every man who defeated Superman. I remember looking at the average Eddie in the street. He'd rip your heart out if you looked at his wife the wrong way. I remember that America. I grew up in that America. I'm not saying it was a pretty place. I'm not saying it was a very pretty place. It was a pretty mean country. But it was a proud country. And it was a country that knew what it was. And it was a country that could defend itself, where women were much safer than they are today. No enemy, domestic or foreign, could get up and spit on the American flag without having his head bashed in by a plumber. The plumbers' union would have come out in the streets to anyone doing what they're doing today to the flag and to the country. And so I play rock and roll. You know, it's from another era. I listen to these songs and I try to remember America. It's never going to be that. Again, I get it. I understand that, but it doesn't mean I don't want to play this song. You know, last night I was watching a movie. I watch a lot of movies at night. It helps me escape, I'll be honest with you. I like to watch boxing matches, movies, car shows. I like flipping around between boxing matches, movies, and car shows. Then Naked and Afraid. I don't know. There's such a stage thing in the jungles. It mixes it up. Naked and Afraid, a car show. Then you click to the... what's his name? Muhammad Ali. He just died. Mike Tyson fights. They're rerunning Mike Tyson fights from the early years. I couldn't believe these fights. I never saw anything like this. He was fighting a giant of a black fighter from England last night. I forget the guy's name if you're a fight fan. A replay. I couldn't believe the power of Mike Tyson. And I was watching, you know, in the background, the audience and how the fights were conducted then as opposed to today. Two men, they were like living statues. Like Roman gladiators, Mike Tyson versus the other guy. I forget his name, Bruno. Bruno was the world heavyweight champion. Tyson had lost it to somebody, and it was a comeback fight. He ripped the guy to pieces. The guy was like 5 inches taller than him, and he was so well put together physically. He was an Adonis. Bruno was like a weightlifter's body and the heavyweight champion in one. One of the most remarkably handsome men in the history of the world. And he couldn't control Tyson. He kept wrapping his arms around Tyson's head every time they got into a bit of a punch out because he couldn't control him. He couldn't hit him. So he wrapped him up with the arms. The whole fight was like that. And then there was this little referee trying to separate them. I don't know how he did his job. The guy was like a little demon. So I'm watching that one. I'm flipping around. I stumble on a movie called Mean Streets. Robert De Niro and a few others. I don't remember their names. And, of course, since it was from my era in the Greenwich Village times, I watched it again. And, you know, all I could think of was, look at these guys acting like tough guys, like Robert De Niro. I'm sure he's a tough guy who could knock my block off. I don't mean it in that sense. And the other ones in that rat pack of kids who came up, became movie stars. And I don't understand how they become liberals. I don't get it. How do these guys who were so tough, largely in New York, West Village, Italian. How did they become liberals, I ask myself? How does a guy like Robert De Niro not stand up for America once? I love the guy as an actor. I don't understand him politically and his Rat Pack. How do they become liberals? What makes them tick? Do they not understand that their rhetoric has gotten us where we are? I ask myself as I watched the movie last night.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
No one could be that smart. Yeah, that's what you have to do with Torpedo. Every minute you have to be a wise guy and smart, poignant, cutting. It's impossible. No script. No script. I don't have a teleprompter. So at this point, I've said all I can say today, to be honest with you. The high point of the show is 15 impeachable offenses of the traitor in chief. California's new motor voter law could add 2 million registered voters in its first year, and they're not being arrested for doing this. Department of Mexican Voting. Here's a new topic. Putin throws support behind Trump, says U.S. needs to stop interfering with our affairs. I want to ask you progressives out there, do you think that a war with Russia is what we need right now? We can't defeat ISIS. How could we defeat Russia? Write it down. That should be a screaming headline on the Drudge Report, but it won't be. Savage says, we can't defeat ISIS, but progressives want a war with Russia. You won't see it anywhere, but you got it for free. My gift to you. Why do you want a war with Russia, you idiots? What, because Caligula's wife wants a war with Russia? Caligula's wife wants a war with Russia, so you want a war with Russia. That's all. Illegal families surge across the border. 2016 already worse than 2015. Homeland Security report calls for rejecting terms jihad and sharia. Well, what do you want to change it to? Well, what do you want to change from jihad? What do you want to change it to? Homeland Security. Zika may be transmitted by oral sex. Ugh. I don't get that. I can't even follow that one. Zika may be transmitted by oral sex? I don't want to tell like a bad joke and sound like, a, you know, just telling a dirty joke. But what do you mean oral sex and Zika? I don't understand that one. Sexual transmission of a Zika virus? A 2008 case in which a mosquito researcher? Must have called a mosquitologist? Just back from Africa, infected his wife in Colorado. Wait a minute. Oh, God. Please, that's too graphic for me. My mother, may she rest in peace, would not have even liked to hear that on the radio. There's certain things she wouldn't even want to hear. Like, that graphic description from the New York Times would have gotten her, like, she would have turned red and turned the radio off. No, including France, Germany, Portugal, New Zealand. In the French case, a 46-year-old man... Oh, it's France. Excuse me. A 46-year-old Frenchman? Okay, that tells the whole story. Seattle University dean, chaplain on administrative leave after student protest over too many dead white dudes in curriculum. You hear? You hear what's going on in the universities? They let people in who cannot keep up with the studies. They can hardly speak English. They can't write English. But they reach out to them to bring them in to make sure that they don't look racist. And the next thing you do is they can't keep up with reading Shakespeare, so they fire the dean and the chaplain because a few of the troublemakers can't read, they can't write, they can't add, and they say the curriculum is racist. Oh, God. This is the Savage Nation. Father's Day is coming up Sunday. Imagine that already, Father's Day. I don't even celebrate. I don't know what I do. Take your father out for dinner. He's dead. 1970. We're not going to take him. I say a prayer for him, that's all. I realize his tough upbringing was meant for me. Sometimes I think he was sadistic, but okay, I doubt it. It was from that generation. I ever did a show on this. Well, did you have a tough upbringing from your father or mother? Wow, I did that show once. What calls I got on the discipline that was used on guys, women too? A lot of Italians from New York were beaten with straps by their father. I'm not making it up. Another one, the mother beat him with a telephone cord. If you said... Joey, I swear to God, I got calls like that. Oh, yeah, she beat me regularly with a telephone and a telephone cord. But I loved her anyway. Joey's laughing. He's of Italian descent. No, I'm not making this stuff up. Discipline. How they discipline in those days. I love walking around white suburbs now. I'm a great observer of white suburbs. I can't say that I know much about anything else. Occasionally I go to this city. I have a clothespin that I keep in my coat that I put over my nose when I go to San Francisco. I have to intermittently put the clothespin on as I pass one of the poor, oppressed, homeless people who's defecating in a mailbox. Or you think I'm making it up? I saw it last 2 weeks ago outside Safeway in downtown San Francisco. Six first responders were pulling a white guy out of a bush who had his pants down and was relieving himself in a shrub across from a Safeway. I swear to God, this is what they let go on in the city. But mainly I observe white suburbs. I see a mother... The little kid, a white kid, I don't know how old he is. Gee, I don't know. Let me do a recall. 4, 5. And the mother says, well, Johnny, what do you want to do? Would you like to go here? Or Johnny, would you like to go there? He don't know. For the kid don't know. He's 4. What does a kid 4 know? Very little. They're not wise. I love the people who think children are wise. They're not wise. They're not wise. They need guidance. The mother doesn't know anything. So she asks the child to determine what she should do for the next period of time in that day. The child, she's asking, what he wants to do. So I start to think about it. I said, what is she doing? I see she's trying to teach the child, in her mind, to have presence of mind, to make a decision. But a child 4 or 3 can't make decisions like that. They need you to say, let's go to the library. Or let's go to and why we're going there. That's what they need. That's called leadership. A child doesn't know what he wants. I mean, he knows what he wants, excuse me, like a dog knows what he wants. A dog knows what he wants, too. He uses pure instinct. That's all. Wants to go out and pee on a bush. A dog knows that. A child is very, very simplistic in his drives. He needs a parent to guide him. So what am I getting at? I think you could fill in. You could follow this any way you want to go. Fill in the blank, okay? I don't care. I'm not making a bigger point. Just an observation. Now, what do you want to talk about? No one's called me on the subject I really wanted to go into. Oh, there we go. Mary on line 2. Bingo. Mary, what's your topic from New York City? Go ahead, please.
Well, I work in a city hospital in New York, in Elmhurst, and I met Robert De Niro, and he was the nastiest guy I ever met in my life. I'm 5'2 and weigh about 120 pounds. He's about my size. But anyway, his father was a gay artist. And they were very rich. They lived in Greenwich Village, and he went to private schools. He didn't fraternize with the regular people like us. So there's a reason.
Wait, De Niro is a shorty? I didn't know. De Niro's a shorty? I didn't know that.
He's real short. I mean, I could have beat him up. I was so mad because he disrupted to make this movie he made, Analyze This or something, and he disrupted our lives for like a few weeks.
I love that movie. That was the funniest movie I ever saw. That was great. When he plays the confused gangster who has Billy Crystal as his therapist, that's a funny movie. What, they filmed it in Elmhurst in your hospital?
And you won't even acknowledge us as you walk past us?
I don't understand this call. You don't like him because he disrupted your hospital?
No, because he wouldn't say hello. He wouldn't say goodbye.
Could he do that? He's probably memorizing his lines. An actor, see, you don't understand something about actors. They have to memorize lines. Their mind is on what they have to say, not on a person in the street. I wouldn't take that personally. But, no, I wanted to know another thing. How is it that guys like Robert De Niro and the others in that Rat Pack from that era, who all played wise guys and tough guys, how come they're all liberal? I don't understand that part of it. That's the part I don't understand.
An artist. What do you
What's the word? I couldn't hear it. A whoist? A florist?
And he was... they were rich. And the father was gay.
And?
And, I mean, a gay father, what are you going to come out? A conservative? You're going to come out...
So you think that the father's politics, which at the time was super left-wing, rubbed off on him. Is that what you're saying?
There was a show on him showing his father's artwork.
Yeah, I saw it wasn't bad. His father wasn't a bad artist. I liked his father's work.
Good, but, you know, Robert...
All right, so what you're saying, the milieu of that period was so left-wing, especially if you were gay, you had to be a left-winger. Today it's changing very slightly. There are so-called log cabin Republicans, and certainly after the Orlando shooting, you may see people moving away from their doxies that have gotten them in such trouble with people who want to hurt them. But, okay, we don't know what's changing. But so you're saying you lay their politics at the doorstep of the parents in this case. All right, I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer, truthfully, nor is that the biggest problem in my life, to be honest with you. My friends, Americans and countrymen, the phone number here is 855-400-7282. You're listening to The Savage Nation. Let's go to another soundbite. Obama goes to Orlando when the blood is still drying on the pavement. They still haven't washed it away. And right away, the demagogue is out to seize guns. Now, if seizing guns were to stop Muslim fanatics from killing people, I would be all for it. But how do you explain the fact that they stone gays to death without guns? They use stones, actual stones, in Iraq, for example, or in the ISIS-captured territories. Or how do you explain the fact that in Iran, a good friend of John Kerry, the Iranians, take people who are homosexual and lift them up by cranes and drop them. How do you explain that? What is that, an assault crane? Should cranes not be exported to Iran now because of that? There's no fun here. There's no jokes. Now, he gets stupid in clip seven. And let's listen to the president in clip seven.
This debate needs to change. It's outgrown the old political stalemates. The notion that the answer to this tragedy would be to make sure that more people in a nightclub are similarly armed to the killer defies common sense.
Then why do you have armed bodyguards, Mr. Obama? Why don't you practice what you preach and get rid of your Secret Service or disarm them? Make them like London Bobbies. If you really don't want guns to defend you, start with your Secret Service agents. Tell them that you want them to be like Bobbies armed with a nightstick. Of course it makes sense for people to be armed in a nightclub. So then the lone Muslim madman would have gotten away with killing a few, but then he would have been shot dead. Don't assume that because a man is gay, he's not tough. I mean, don't make that stupid assumption. Some kids make that mistake, and they get there, you know what, handed to them. You know, that's certainly not a given. But the fact of the matter is there are plenty of tough guys who happen to be homosexual. I'm sure if they had a gun in the nightclub, they would have, some of them would have had the presence of mind to stop him. As he was, do you know that he was live texting or broadcasting what he was doing on Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg? Sending it out on Facebook while he was killing people? Did you know that part of it? Why don't we restrict Facebook? Why doesn't Facebook restrict that kind of insanity? Why does Twitter permit these people to communicate them with each other? Why? Would it cost them a few cents if they were to ban them? I mean, there's a lot that could be done, but it isn't necessarily guns. And secondly, the no-fly, no-buy list, it sounds cool, but it makes no sense. Because how do you get on a no-fly list? How do you get on a no-buy list? An unnamed bureaucrat can put you on there. A neighbor can point you out and say that his rhetoric scares me, and you'll go on such a list, and then you'll be denied your second, maybe your First Amendment. So we can't let that happen to us because of the act of one maniac. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage, 77 WABC.
I ran all the way. Oh, wow.
America's dead, gone. Either they're dead or in an old age home, transfusion tree, swinging in an old age home somewhere, playing in Century City somewhere, in Century Village in Florida, where the people are comatose listening to them. And now we have from the 1950s. That's the world. So that world's dying, and which world is living? Tell me, which world is emerging in America? From the brash, assertive American male world, what's emerged in this country? What do we have now? you can paint the picture. So who are you going to blame? Which world do you want? Which world do you want to live in? Were you afraid to say a word? You hide behind a locked door? You can't go to the corner for a loaf of bread in the middle of the afternoon? That's the world you like? A million Muslims brought in by Obama during his tenure given green cards? Paul Ryan threatening to sue a future president, Donald Trump, over Muslim immigration, saying that it's a betrayal of what's best in the U.S., that there's a separation of powers and he's going to exert it if Trump becomes president while he says nothing, while Obama has violated his oath at least 15 times. I read you the 15 impeachable or possibly impeachable offenses of the traitor-in-chief. 15. 15, 15, 15, 15. You can call them high crimes and misdemeanors. And I asked you which of these illegal acts rises to that level, and I gave you 15 of them right at the beginning of the show, right off the starting gate. So if you think it's just rhetoric, you're mistaken. It's a takeover of everything valuable in this country. We don't have a lot of time here. Let's take a quick call. Abby on WABC in New York City. Abby, a minute or less, fire away.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just want to say I've been listening to you for a while now, And I think that if some people listen to you, they may think that you're a racist, but you, I realize you're just a deep soul. You look at things, you observe them, and you feel them deeply. My mother thinks the same way. I think the same way. I feel like I have to be a secret with my real feelings, or people will just think me a racist. But they don't see how...
Wait. Where is the racist part of it? What makes me a racist? What do I say that's racist?
You're not a racist. But people who listen to you, some people, if they tune in, they may think that you are because of how you explain Obama's presidency. About
what do you mean? Because he's a black man, he can't be capable of being a traitor? You mean African Americans are incapable of being traitors? Where is that written?
Of course not. But that's why I'm saying I'm in agreement with you. I'm certainly not against you. I'm in agreement
with you. So in other words, what you're saying is anyone who criticizes this deceiver, this anti-American traitor, is accused of being a racist and they're afraid to say a word. Is that what you're saying? That I agree with you, 100%. I'm sending you Teddy and me. Teddy and me, because the dog is gray and you can't accuse him of any such thing. He's just a poodle. If you don't like poodles, you're going to love it anyway because he's a great personality. He's my movie star. I'll be back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I feel like I'm living in Uruguay with soccer thugs. You don't know what it's like living in the Bay Area, not being a sports fan and seeing idiots run around with flags on their car. Like they personally are winning a game. Like there's something in it for them. Obama's wrecking the nation like with a wrecking ball on a daily basis, flooding the country with a million green cards for people from Muslim countries, none of whom have been vetted properly. The massacres go on, one after the other, and they're running around with a basketball flag. I feel like I'm living in Uruguay, as I said. Soccer thugs. I used to watch this as a kid. I'd see the madness of the stupid people in South America. Corrupt socialist dictatorships. Robbing the country's blind, and the idiots were obsessed over soccer. Same thing here. What's the difference here now? The flags on their car, that's all. That's all they need is a flag. I do understand. Okay. I do. Bread and roses. I get it. I get the whole thing. But then there are others who do know what's going on. And so what we've been talking about is those of you who do know what's going on. And I gave you 14 offenses committed by your president that are high crimes and misdemeanors. I know that that's an indefinite phrase of law. And I asked you, which of these illegal acts rises to the level of a high crime and misdemeanor, which would make it impeachable. And I read them to you. And we're going to hear them again this hour at 34. 15 possibly impeachable offenses of the traitor. Number one being flooding the U.S. with illegal aliens, including 1 million Muslims, without a vote from Congress, against the will of the people. But go ahead, ride around with the basketball flag. Get drunk in a bar tonight because the team won. What do you have to do with the team? What are you getting excited about? Well, what's the team? Well, you threw the ball in the hoop. I don't understand mass movements and mass hysteria in that regard. Well, I do. When a man has nothing in his life and he's empty and he has no achievements of his own, he can identify with a sports figure, I guess, and he thinks that he threw the basketball into the hoop. So he identifies that he won the game. So he gets happy for a minute. You're driving around the city tonight, you can't believe the lunatics in San Francisco. Drunk in bars over a game, hanging on every throw. Every word. The borders have been broken down, their language has become polyglot garbage. There's no culture, the Constitution has been stepped on, and they're watching a basketball game. That's why I play rock and roll on Friday. That's what I do. And I've asked questions, I've gotten answers, I got a this, and I got a that. Hey, look at the one I want to hear now, Robert, the Harp Tones. Yeah, the Harp Tones, Life is But a Dream. Let me hear that one, just for a change of pace on Rock and Roll Friday. Life is But a Dream by the Harp Tones. This is not translatable into Arabic. Maybe we could play it for a minute. I don't know if these songs get translated onto, uploaded onto websites across the world in different languages. But all of you out there in Arabic-speaking lands, this is a coded message. The harp tones in Life is But a Dream. We have it, Robert? If not, we can't play it. Killed the whole joke already. Or play anything before my cufflinks explode on my hands and put holes in my wrists. How about anything? How about the Clovers, Devil or Angel? How about the Cufflings, Guided Missiles? How about the Moonglow, Secret Love? How about the coded message of the Paragons and Let's Start All Over Again? Give me something before I plot to you. I can't imagine. You ever sometimes imagine that when you're younger, Joey, what it was like? I'm saying, like, I was joking. I said, Earth Angel. Okay, men revered women in the 50s. They put them on a pedestal, right? So then the women's movement came along and said, how dare you put us on a pedestal? So men said, okay, you're not on a pedestal. Then they started treating them badly, saying, how dare you treat us badly? How dare you look at us in the wrong way? How come you don't put us on a pedestal anymore? Because they said, well, you told us not to put you on a pedestal. You were just like us. So no one knows what to do anymore. They don't even know what bathroom to go to anymore because of Obama. They don't know what bathroom to go into after 8 years, 7.5 years of the tyrant. But I was going to get to another point, which is, do you remember when you were in school as a kid? This is a, it's not a lewd thing at all, at all. But I know, as a kid, I would sit in school and get spaced out. I couldn't take it sometimes. My mind would wander. I would think, and I see, it's had a pretty teacher. I try to imagine the unimaginable with her and her husband. And I'd say, stop, you're studying geometry, stop it. Now, and occasionally your mind would go there, and you try to imagine if your parents could actually still do that, right? Do you remember that, Robert? I don't know if this is an uncomfortable statement. There's a reason I'm doing this. Well, the same thing applies to Hillary Clinton and Angela Merkel. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine they were ever an image of romantic love. Do you think Angela Merkel ever had anyone who looked up to her as an earth angel, I'm asking myself? I don't see how. She looked like this when she was 13. She looked the same at 13 as she does now at 60, whatever she is. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, was good-looking, by the way. I don't know if you know that. She was a hot chick as a young woman. No one says that, but she was a hot leftist in her day. I guarantee you there was patchouli oil in that past. So you could see why Bill fell for her. But the thing is now, look what we're facing now. Caligula's wife wants to become president. How is that going to help this country? You know, people say to me, who are you going to vote for? Like, they make believe they don't know me. Who am I going to vote for, Trump or Hillary? So I actually take them seriously, and I said, well, let's see. Trump stands for most of the things I believe in, like borders being secured, English as the official language of the nation, and our culture built upon the Bible and the U.S. Constitution. Hillary stands for the opposite. They don't get it. They don't even understand what I said. So I said, let me put it to you another way. Trump is opposed to flooding America with more illegal aliens. Hillary wants to flood America with more illegal aliens. Which side would you think I would be on? I mean, that explains, break it down into one message. Here's another one. Obama has gutted the U.S. military. Trump has said he wants to rebuild the U.S. military. Hillary will continue attacking and decimating the U.S. military. So which side do you think I'm on? On Russia, Trump wants to get along with one of the world's great superpowers, a nuclear superpower at that. Hillary has called Putin Hitler and wants to go to war with Russia. Which side do you think I'm on? I mean, I make it very basic for people. And they ride around with a flag on their car, a basketball flag. That's their whole thing. Racing around like they personally are throwing the basketball. It's a crazy world to live in when you have brains. If you have no brains, it's a great world. It's a wonderful universe. You know, just go along and get along like the average person. You'll be much happier. But unfortunately, I can't be, so I'll be right back because I need a break. I hope you don't.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. O-T-E, it's Pre Zuckerberg. PZ, PZ. You heard of PC? Well, that's PZ. I live in a PZ world, pre-Zuckerberg. Thinking about that, I think I'd rather just play music, but I'm going to take some calls. Jack, on KSFO, my hometown of San Francisco. Jack, what's on your mind?
Yes, Rabbi. How you doing today? I'm walking down the street. I believe I'm a walking contradiction because I'm listening to your show on a portable radio. And I'm walking right in the middle of Haight-Ashbury. So it's a little odd.
But wait a minute. Are you a religious person yourself walking in the hippie district of Haight-Ashbury?
No, not at all. I'm visiting from out of town. My cousin lives in the area, and I just took a walk.
So how did you... Wait, well, two things. Is that area still hippy-dippy? It hasn't been. It's changed. It's very expensive to live there. It's been yuppified. It's not like the hippies are sitting in the gutter anymore, are they? Selling dope with crystals and pit bulls.
I did see some of both, but, you know, I'm a little dizzy, and I don't know whether it's from walking up the hill or I just got a contact high. I'm not sure, but I could smell it everywhere, so.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate marijuana. It's a toxic poison. It's poisoned the minds of millions of people, and it's going to do it to tens of millions of people. And it is the most dangerous of all drugs, not only because of the toxic compounds within the smoke, but because it's a gateway drug to the entire drug culture. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it. WKSFO again, Mark in San Francisco. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Mark?
Yeah, I got an explanation, my viewpoint on the Bobby De Niro syndrome. These intelligent types, which you think wouldn't be liberal, it tends to be because of their creative thinking.
Well, I have creative thinking. I've written many books, including fiction. I paint. I write songs. Why am I not a liberal?
Yeah, and I came up with the idea when I was on hold. There's six basic styles of thinking, and you tend to use all of them. Most creative types, like in Hollywood, they tend to be more on the side of idealistic thinking, and that's where the liberalism comes in.
So they think of the million Muslims that Obama has given green cards to. They ignore the fact that Sharia law is wanted by 51% of American Muslims today, and they think everything will work out in the future if we're nice to them?
Yeah, it's interesting because the two most popular styles, most people aren't any one type, is realistic thinking, and they tend to shun from that. So you like?
Well, I tend to be a realist, actually. I'm a realist more than I am an idealist these days, but I would believe the thing that motivates me most to continue doing radio and write books is my idealism, not my realism, because my realistic side would say you're wasting your time. The people are too far gone.
To see my viewpoint is the other types besides realistic and idealistic, which most people tend to be, then there's creative, and that can be actually stifled at a young age, and it's difficult to recoup it. But there's analytical, systemic, and pragmatic, and you tend to be pretty pragmatic too, let alone analyzing things. And
well, I'm also, I believe I'm a dreamer. At the end of the day, as realistic as I am about what's going on, I have to be an idealist to believe I have a meaning to even get up and do this show. Otherwise, what's the point of doing it if I don't think that I'll make some headway and try to change a few minds to save the country that might still be savable? Thank you for the call. I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me. Stay on the line. Great Father's Day gift. And don't forget, please, Monday morning. Monday morning, Monday morning, Monday morning, Monday morning, Monday morning, Monday morning, Monday morning. What do you got to do Monday morning? You go to your iPhone and you text the word Savage to 36500 and you nominate Michael Savage to be given the award of induction into the National Radio Hall of Fame, but you can't do it till Monday morning. And if you're an older person who doesn't have an iPhone, and there are many, it's not laughable. You must know somebody in your family who does text, a daughter, a son, a cousin. You tell them Monday morning, text Savage to 36500. That's all you got to do. You don't even have to ask anymore. And you know what I may do? I may, if I do win the award, I will certainly mention that it's because of Borders, Language, and Culture that my message has resonated these 22 years, and I believe that Donald Trump is the only person who can save the country. But, you know, at that point, it'll be too late. It'll be after the election. But I still will say that it's the language, the message of Borders, Language, and Culture that got me to this place in life. Because I believe in it. I'm still believing in that. It's that simple. Why do you think, let me think about that now. I have a minute to think about this. Why am I obsessed with the message of Borders, Language, and Culture? Why me? Why me? Why am I still hawking this one, Borders, Language, and Culture? Is it still important in an age of globalism? In an age that I call post-Zuckerberg. Post-Zuckerberg. It's like Anno Domini. It's like Anno Zuckerberg. Anno Zuckerberg. After Zuckerberg's Facebook came along, the world changed. It's no longer the same world. It's an interconnected world where a terrorist can be let into a country, even though his spouse is killing you, and then text people while he's killing people with pictures streaming from the place, and the Department of Homeland Security says that he doesn't pose a threat because he wasn't on a watch list. And if he was on a watch list, they couldn't arrest him because he didn't actually kill anyone yet. But after he kills somebody, they're definitely going to put him on the watch list. This is the world we live in, so somebody has to try to make sense out of it, doesn't he? And everyone sitting here listening to the show understands what's at stake. It's come down to each man and each woman for themselves. There is no government to protect you. You have to protect yourself from your government. That's what I think. And I'm a patriot. I'm a Boy Scout. I'm Michael Savage. Borders, language, culture.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
There's a question about the 1952 Immigration Naturalization Act, which is about whether that act gave the president discretion on certain things. That's a legal question that there's a good debate about. I would sue any president who exceeds his or her powers.
You lying little man, you. You Lilliputian, Ryan. You know, you look macho, but you know what's inside you? A little girl. It's a little girl in a big man's body. You would sue any president? You would sue any president that exceeds his or her powers? You would sue them? How come you haven't sued the monster in chief who's in there right now violating the Constitution on a daily basis, Ryan? You're a little girl inside a man's body, Ryan, because you're a liar. Now, I'm going to read you 14 offenses of the traitor in the White House and have to ask you a question. I must. I wanted to make it only rock and roll. Paul Ryan is a quizzling turncoat. Paul Ryan is the danger himself. We know Obama is a danger to our survival, but now you understand the other party is identical to this party. We've had a one-party government. We have a monopoly. We have a dictatorship. There are no two parties. It's a deception. We have two parties and Donald Trump. That's all we have right now. And they're working to take down Donald Trump as fast as they can. They're afraid of him because he represents you. He represents the red, white, and blue. He represents the real America as opposed to the imposters who have taken over this country and have run it off the rails. And they're getting us whacked. Here are offenses committed by the traitor in chief. One, flooding the U.S. with illegal aliens, specifically 1 million Muslims, since he was foisted upon us by hidden powers. Two, using the IRS to target conservatives, Christians, and pro-Israel groups. Three, Justice Department conducting criminal investigations of Fox reporters. Refusing to enforce immigration laws. Signing an executive order regarding illegals in defiance of Congress. Assaulting the Second Amendment by issuing on one day 21 executive orders to undermine the right to bear arms. Especially the law written by the monster, which allows doctors and hospitals to investigate without cause patients who own firearms. Health and Human Services, without congressional approval, ordering abortion coverage in conflict with the First Amendment and Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. What I'm reading to you are actual offenses by the monster in chief, who has not been challenged by Paul Ryan or any other Republican. Not one word out of the mouths of the fakers, the little girls in men's bodies. Next, forcing Obamacare on the public by lying about cost and by bribing senators, the infamous Cornhusker kickback, and bribing Mary Landrieu, which is why she will lose the runoff. You remember that one? Are you ready for this? Fast and furious, flooding Mexico with machine guns and other weapons. Can you tie the monster to the Justice Department action? You know that's why Eric Holder retired. You know that. That's why they dummied him up and got him out of there. You know that, don't you? FCC, DOE, DOI, and EPA have all exceeded authority. Again, definitely exceeded their authority. And it was ordered by BHO, or was it? He probably used buffers. As you well know, organized crime uses buffers. You can never trace it back to the kingpin. The kingpins always use buffers. Study your history of organized crime. Are you listening carefully? White House recess appointments to National Labor Relations Board and Consumer Financial Protection Bureau when Congress wasn't in recess. Again, an act by the peasant Avante. BHO eliminated work requirement for welfare recipients in defiance of congressional law signed by Bill Clinton. another violation of his constitutional authority. GM bailout, remember that one? BHO unlawfully shortchanged bondholders to benefit labor unions, remember that one? Now, this may be the worst of the offenses conducted by the monster in the White House. BO exposed details of the operation to kill bin Laden, which is a violation of the law, revealing classified military secrets. That's definitely impeachable. Here's another one for those of you who are doubtful about his lawlessness, his rogue presidency. BO lied about the killing of Ambassador Chris Stevens in Benghazi. He was not under oath, or that would go from probably impeachable to definitely impeachable. That's a short list of the offenses by the traitor-in-chief, none of which have been challenged by the girl in the name Paul Ryan. Be blind to the monster-in-chief. Be blind to the traitor in the White House. Those are strong words, I get it. I read you 14 impeachable offenses. 14! And Paul Ryan has the nerve to say that if Trump becomes president and he dares ban the importation of more Muslims after a million were ushered in by Obama, for what reason no one knows. Well, excuse me, pardon me, that's not a statement that's accurate. 1 million Muslims at a time of international Islamic terror would make insane sense if you're a rational person. I would say even the most progressive moron in San Francisco, who still has a brain, understands that in a time of Islamic terror, you don't bring in Muslims without screening them all. Why would he bring in a million of them? Okay, let's put it to you this way. Those of you who are so brainwashed, you don't understand what I'm saying to you. Everything I say to you, you're running through a filter called race or racism. So let's put race aside. Let's use logic. There's Islamic terror going on around the world, one event after another, all conducted by 7th, 8th century Muslims who are interpreting their holy book in a fundamentalist manner and saying, kill the infidel. They're garbage, they're dirt, they're filth, they deserve to die. So you got Islamic terror all over the world, from Russia to California, Islamic terror, Islamic terror. Now you have a maniac in the White House who has a Muslim father, an adopted Muslim father, and the man is sympathetic towards Muslims, which is not a problem. I've said 1,000 times. 1,000 times I said it once. Muslims who are evolved religiously are not the problem. King of Jordan is an example, educated man who happens to practice the Islamic faith. There are millions like him. So how many of the 1 million Muslims given a green card by your president have been screened to see if they're living in the 7th century or the 20th century, let alone the 21st century? I'll even take the 19th century. How many have been screened by this government, this corrupt, incompetent government, to see what century they're living in? Does anyone have the answer, any of you immigration lawyers who are digging graves for all of us? All you good liberals from New York who have polluted the country with your psychosis of liberalism and progressivism? Do you have any idea that you're killing yourself and your children's children? Well, I understand, excuse me, most of you aren't married and don't have children and will have no grandchildren. So you're thinking only of the money you're making today in your immigration legal practice. I get it. But the rest of us see it. And we ask, why would you bring in a million Muslims who are unvetted, unscreened, not analyzed for sympathies towards these ancient crazy beliefs? Why? So I can ask questions from today until kingdom come, and I'm not going to get the answer I want because we're not living in the country that I think we're living in. Now, here's another story related to what I'm saying. California's new motor voter law could add 2 million registered voters in its first year, study says. Isn't that wonderful? A new study from the Public Policy Institute of California estimates that if executed successfully, the state's new motor voter law could add more than 2 million new voters to the rolls in its first year of implementation. Now, why would Jerry Brown and the Democrat Party in this state, this one-party state, why would they want uneducated foreigners, most of whom are not citizens, to become voters? Why? Well, let's look at the several groups that would grow as a share of the electorate under a successful new motor voter program. Well, the first group that would grow would be the no college. The second group would be those born to two foreign-born parents. Oh. The third group that would grow enormously would be Latino. The fourth group would be ages 18 to 24. The next group would be those who moved to the state in the last year. The next group would be with income lower than $20,000. So why is Jerry Brown stocking the state of California with uneducated, foreign-born, many non-citizens, poor people? What does he hope to gain from it while alienating those who are making a living and paying such high taxes? There's only one answer. Power, 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 power. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. We have an absolutely corrupt government at every level. So we have one man standing up to it, Donald Trump. And what does this corrupt government media complex do? They turn him into the corrupt party. They throw every lie they can think of, and then some. If the people hate Obama, if the people hate the violation of our laws and the violation of our freedoms and bringing in a million Muslims, why does it keep happening? What kind of country is this? Where is the freedom? I'll let you answer the questions, because the questions themselves are the answers. The questions themselves hold the answers in them. And there's only so much any one man can do. I'm not Atlas. Remember, even Atlas shrugged. Sometimes Atlas wants to sleep late. Sometimes Atlas wants to stay in bed. Sometimes Atlas wants to hide under the covers. But a man can't do that. A man has a job to do. This is my job. Laugh at me if you will, if you're that stupid. If you don't even know you're digging your own grave and throwing the lime in the pit, I can't help you. The progressives have given the youth shovels and lime and told them to dig their own graves and throw the lime in and then throw themselves into the pit. And the youth happily dig their own graves. They go along praying with all of the mantras of the left, not even recognizing they're digging their own graves. You say, okay, you see it for what it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. Well, there's only, I think, only one chance. Something's happening. I think the forces of evil are so great that they're getting to him. I personally believe that. I mean, I'll vote for him. I want him to win. But I think the forces of evil inside, forget the Democrats. I wrote them off a long time ago. When you say Democrat, I see old women like Nancy Pelosi, old women like Dianne Feinstein, old women, old Harridans like them. Nothing wrong with being an old woman, but old anti-American women who are, let us say, questionable ethically, is why I use the Three Sisters from San Francisco as a picture of the Democrat Party as it is today. I wrote them off a long time ago. Now, I want to backtrack for a minute. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get out a pen. And the note is that Sunday night at 12:01 a.m., if you're still up, if you have insomnia or you're following your natural sleep cycle, which is not to sleep in such a long block of 9 hours, but break it up into two blocks as most humans have done through the millennia. Let's say you're up at 12:01. Here's what I want you to do. You type the name Savage into your text device, and then you send it to 36500. And if you do that, you will help elect Michael Savage to the National Radio Hall of Fame, because I deserve it. If I didn't deserve it, I wouldn't tell you about it. I'm only running against three other people. And since I've been a pioneer in the spoken word, since I'm far more creative, inventive, entertaining, informative, educated than everyone else in the history of radio, I deserve the award. And I want to be in the National Radio Hall of Fame. I think it would be a real honor for me. And then the only way I could win is if enough listeners text all their friends and people on their social lists to say, type the name Savage and send it to 36500. But this can't happen until Sunday night, 12:01 a.m., or Monday morning, the first thing you wake up. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know the Pew Research Center. They're liberal, right? Very liberal. Well, the Pew Research Center did a study of Muslims. They found that many Muslims support suicide bombing and other forms of violence against civilians to defend Islam. A combined 19% of Muslims said those actions are rarely, sometimes, or often justified. So 19% of 3 million people is 600,000 people. There are 3 million Muslims in the U.S. 19% would be 3 million of them might hold these beliefs. And Obama brought in 1 million since he became president. They haven't vetted them. So who's right, Trump or Obama, Trump or Paul Ryan, Nancy Pelosi or Donald Trump, your children and your children's children or Nancy Pelosi's greed? Who's right, your children's children or Dianne Feinstein's craven greed? Who is right, liberalism or survivalism? That's it. That's my message for the day. Now let's take some calls. Are you ready for this? Because here come the callers. KSFO, Christian, line 5, a minute or less, fire away.
Okay, first of all, race out of the question. I'm a black person, but I'm with you, Michael. You are rational. And I'm a Harvard graduate. I'm rational. I see the man that you talk about, and the primary name you call him is the essence of what he is. He's the demon. I heard you said it twice today. He's the demon.
Christian, I use the word pointedly. I think he's acting in a demonic manner. Why would he keep flooding America with Muslims when it's not in the interest of our survival, Christian?
Well, because he's Christian. He's a mixture of Christianity and Islam. And his Islam is showing. He's of a different spirit. He's of the spirit of the Antichrist, but that's a whole other story. He's a monster in chief. He's a lawless one. And all these things are pointed out in the scripture as the person of the Antichrist. He comes in on a white horse of peace. He leads many into great apostasy, which we can talk about, which he does. He destroys people and their prosperity, redistributing the wealth and so forth.
Wow. Christian, you're an African American, you're a Harvard graduate. How does it end? How does this religious interpretation of this demon end? Where does it end and how? Because today all four of the Obamas took off from the White House to head west for a weekend getaway to visit two national parks. They're in another junket, another vacation. So how does this end? How does it end?
It ends with you keep prophesying. You're a prophet from God. Don't stop. It ends with people waking up and turning away from the great apostasy. It ends with...
Christian, listen, I need to get your email. I want to meet you. I want to talk with you. I need to concur with you. I need to confer with you. Stay in the line. Give Robert your email because I'm sending you Government Zero and Teddy and me. But you and I have to sit down for a cup of coffee in the very near future, and I mean that. Thank you for listening. God bless America. Open your eyes. Open your heart. Open your mind before it's too late. Borders, language, culture. This is Michael Savage signing off.